Matthew chapter 21, Matthew's account of the triumphal entry. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" O Lord, we pray once again that you will bless your word and stir our hearts. We thank you for the glorious truth that salvation belongs to the Lord, and that you are gathering a people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation who will one day stand before the throne and sing, "Salvation belongs to the Lord." Thank you, Lord. Bless your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends, as we consider our sixth audio on the triumphal entry, we consider the aspect of the glorious truth of salvation. This was what Zechariah prophesied, and Matthew mentions in his gospel that when he came down on the triumphal entry to Jerusalem, or came up, shall we say, down from the Mount of Olives, he was proclaiming or fulfilling the prophecy in Zechariah 9, which says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." And the people cried out, "Hosanna," which really means salvation now, Hoshiana. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came with a mandate from the Father, the redemption of mankind. At the age of 12, he said, "Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" He stepped into the waters of baptism, determined to go to the cross and bring salvation. At the midpoint of his life, he said, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am constrained until it is accomplished." And again at Gethsemane, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, thine be done." From Bethlehem to Calvary, the battle raged, but Jesus never turned back until he cried out, "Tetelestai, it is finished." And the King, our King, opened up a mighty highway of salvation for all mankind, from our deepest and most problematic situation, our sin and our need for salvation. Mankind's greatest problem is not finiteness, it is fallenness. And Luke's gospel is so rich in the stories of salvation. This morning we just look at one of them, the three parables in Luke chapter 15. All three parables are linked to each other: the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. The clear theme in all these is lost and found, salvation. And this especially for the sinners and tax collectors who drew near to Jesus, in stark contrast to the religious Pharisees. Man's misery is at last being dealt with, and man's misery in being lost, and God's joy in finding mankind, we see in this parable. The sheep wandering, going astray is such a true picture of mankind. The coin, lifeless and helpless, a true picture of humanity. Spiritually dead, knowing the requirements of God, yet incapable of rising to fulfill them. The son, deliberately defiant and foolish, making himself independent of his father, just like the first Adam. That describes it, dear friends, the lostness of man. And the glorious truth that we see is that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are involved in bringing this salvation, this rescue operation of mankind. The shepherd in this parable, like our Lord Jesus, going all the way to find the one lost sheep and laying down his life for the sheep. The woman with the light, like the Holy Spirit, shining his light on the church's path as she seeks the helpless and the lost. The father, waiting eagerly at home, longing for the prodigal's return, and yet has sent his son and his Holy Spirit and all of us, the body of Christ, to search for their lost ones and bring them home. Oh, what a gracious God we serve. And in all these three, we see the great rejoicing of the Lord and the holy angels. In the first, 1 in 100 was lost and brought back. Heaven rejoiced. In the second, 1 in 10 was found and heaven rejoiced. In the third, 1 in 2 returned. And oh, what joy erupted in heaven. There had to be a feast. There had to be a celebration. The Father's feast. So, beloved friends, let us go into the health fields and bring back the straying and the lost, the hopeless and the helpless, the prodigal sons and daughters. For many, many years, one of our prayers has been, oh Lord, let thousands of prodigal sons and daughters come running back to the Lord. Luke's gospel is so rich in salvation. Mary Magdalene, Zacchaeus, the thief on the cross, the one patient with leprosy who returned, and so many others shout out to us, Jesus saves. May such examples be multiplied 1,000-fold in the health fields of the world. May this be our number one priority, salvation through Christ to the whole world. And then we will be rejoicing with the shepherd as he shouts out, rejoice, I have found my sheep who was lost. And all across the mountains, the shout will go forth from our Lord, I have brought back my lost sheep. In closing today, dear friends, we want to make a personal and collective application to the lessons we've learned in the triumphal entry. And tomorrow we'll make a collective application, today a personal one, very briefly. As we read in Matthew, and it's found in the other Gospels, Jesus said to his disciples, as he was about to enter Jerusalem, go into the village, you will find a colt tied on whom no one has sat. Loose it or loose him. Bring him or her to me. If anyone asks you, just say, the master has need of him. These words are repeated twice. The master has need of it or him. And the word loose him appears 4 times in the passage. We believe the Lord is speaking that word over most of us this morning or this day. The master has need of you. Are we tied, dear friends, by anything? By soul ties? By any idol? Or even by some so-called legitimate things or pleasure? Or are we like that donkey tied at the crossroads, unable to make a decision to take the Calvary road? Or are we untamed? No one has sat on us. We want to do our own thing like Peter and not wanting submission to God or man. Young people, we especially speak to you. You are very precious in God's sight. And God wants to loose you as a mighty army. older people, parents, pastors, leaders, are we willing to release our coats to the master like these owners for the master's purpose? Let us not hold them back when they want to sacrifice their lives for the kingdom and the king. Let us release them gladly and support them. Today, on behalf of Jesus, we want to loose each one of us so that Jesus can ride on us as Lord and King of healthcare into our workplaces. What an honor, what a privilege. So be loosed in Jesus' name. Mary, the mother of Jesus, said to the angel Gabriel in Luke chapter 1, "Here am I, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me as you wish." She yielded. A sword pierced her heart, yet she could not have fulfilled her destiny without pain. Neither could Jesus, neither can you or me. If we want to bypass the pain and perplexity, forget about fulfilling God's destiny in your life and fellowship. You won't, we won't, I won't. Young people, look at Mary the teenager. She replied, she rejoiced in her privilege and was rewarded for her obedience. Oh dear friends, will we yield? The fruit of our yielding will be far greater than we can ever imagine. The master has need of you. God bless you.